And I want to share a little bit about that, and just want to talk about prayer because it's something we've been feeling as a church to kind of go into, and it's been a good time. And those who've been coming to prayer meetings, well done, carry on, really don't stop. And for those other guys, I want to encourage you. I'm not forcing anybody to do this. This is just something I want to encourage you. If you can, make an effort. Come to these prayer meetings. I'm finding it so key. One of the things I'm finding about prayer meeting, it's not just God. I believe he's going to still answer what we're praying for. That's part of it. But the other side is what I'm starting to realize in the prayer meeting at the times that we're having is God is building a faith in us as we're praying. He's envisioning us. He's opening things in the spirit of what to pray into and how to pray. And so it's I think the fruit are going to follow. But I'm watching, you know, even like the last prayer meeting, I felt like, Lauren, what should we pray for? You know, I'm like trying to think, should we just go through a list of things to pray for? And I'm feeling the Lord saying, I want you to hear me. I'm wanting you to, in these moments, in these prayer times, is to hear my spirit. It's not to come with a grocery list, okay, this time we're going to do this. But it's, I want you to hear me in the spirit because it's in that type of hearing and praying that I'm going to work. And so I've been finding, you know, obviously we've had to initiate this prayer meeting on a Monday too, because the reason we're doing it is to create it's almost like a routine within us. If you've got a routine, you have a discipline. And when you have a discipline, you start having just like a way of life, and then it becomes a culture, all right? And so you got to start somewhere. And so let's start like this. And I was looking at we often go back to Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to prayer. Okay, so it's definitely something the early church devoted themselves to. They saw it as such a necessity. They saw it as so important in their lives. And we often say we want to be like the early church. Why? Because we want to see what they did. We want to do. Am I right? We want to see miracles. We want to see people healed. We want to see people come to salvation. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So, I mean, we could say we want that for us, but are we a people that devote ourselves to prayer? Just a thought, you know, how much do we want that? How much do we want to see salvations? And I'm just realizing, just for myself, you know, if I look at Paul's life, prayer was a way of life. It was the airy breeze. You know, prayer was constantly, and that should be us as Christians. It's just be naturally flowing out of us all the time. I'm kind of thinking, oh, Lord, it's been really, really like tearing my heart in realizing the importance of prayer. I'm often reminded, like Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, pray sometimes or when you're in trouble or when you feel like it, when you've got time. No, pray always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And as I was reading that scripture, you know, Paul's saying, I want you to pray always, but pray in the Spirit. And then he says, you know, as he was talking about with all types of prayers, you know, I'm not going to focus on this evening because I don't feel like what I want to do this evening is do a informative session of teaching about prayer, but I do want to impart faith in prayer this evening. But as you look at that scripture, he says, be watchful to end with perseverance and supplication with all the saints. But he talks about being like there's various types of prayers that we can offer up to the Lord. Did you know that? It's not just one thing. There's different types of prayer. The same way you can have facets of worship, so we can have facets of prayer to the Lord. We can have a prayer of intercession, a prayer of supplication, a prayer of consecration, a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of faith, a prayer of petition, a prayer of adoration, a prayer of confession. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Paul says this. Let me got that scripture. Rejoice always. Again, always. There's always. Huh? And then he says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Take note. This is the will of God for you. This is not a preference. It's not when you just come together here in our Monday nights. It's not just when we go downstairs to pray for the service. That's lovely, and I want to encourage the rest of you, don't who aren't part of that, come and be included in that. Those prayer meetings are so vital. But not only those, this is a way of life. This is the air we should be breathing, the air of praying. Like, do you pray? Is it naturally coming out of you? Because Paul says, you know, do it always. I think it's like a command he's giving you. And I got to admit, I find it very difficult because he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, thankful in all circumstances. You know, often as Christians, we find ourselves under circumstances. We find ourselves bogged down with situation and things, and we find ourselves sometimes in a hole, don't we? And it can be self-pity, it can be my circumstance, all of those things. But if I look at the scripture, it's very hard to wallow in self-pity and be rejoicing at the same time. You can't. Or you can't be thankful in all circumstances and be sorrowful, you know, and be in pity. Do you understand that? So this is kind of Paul saying, don't put yourself where the normal person puts himself. We are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. But I want to say, you're not just seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're seated with him through things like prayer. God gives us a means to be seated with him in heavenly places. I want to say, church, if you're down in your circumstances, if you're suffering with depression and anxiety, I want to say, use this as your tool. Pray, rejoice, give thanks. Do it, do it, do it. Constantly find the Lord and give thanks. Find him, rejoice. This is what God's calling us to. We can't be a people of that are, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm okay under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? You don't need to be there. We're seated with Christ. Church, this is how we are seated with him. And so I just want to encourage you guys, and I know why we don't do this. I'm guilty. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm guilty. I'm part of this. But I realize so many times I look at the Lord and I say, oh, God, you know. God, you're sovereign. You're over everything. I'm not going to give up time just to pray because you're going to still have your way. Hey, how many of you think like that? Come on, be honest. How often do you think like that? Don't look at me and, oh, that's not me. Come on. I know you do. Otherwise, you'd be praying more than me. But I see God like that sometimes. God, you're sovereign. You're going to have your way anyway. And you know what that does? That's a lie from the enemy. It makes us passive, church. It really does. It makes me passive. Do you know, so he has a way of looking at it. I was trying to think of, how can we awaken us, Lord? Awaken me. Think of this. Prayer is what saved you. Think of your salvation. Prayer is what saved you. Did you know that? No, Benny, I put it all down to the works of what Christ did on the cross. But how did you access the work of what Christ did on the cross 2,000 years? You did it through prayer. Think of it. Romans 10 verses 9, it says, if you what? Confess with your mouth. Now, remember I said there's all types of prayer that we have? Confession is a type of prayer. So have you confess with your mouth, okay? So prayer is verbalizing, it's confessing. It's a type of prayer, but I'm doing it with my mouth. I'm actually speaking with your mouth that Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So your salvation is based on prayer. Okay? I want to say, if you've never actually made that decision in your life to actually serve Jesus that you've never really confessed, I want to say today is the day. Do it now. Don't wait tomorrow. Jesus actually is promising us salvation comes like that. As we confess, God, I receive you into my life. I accept the fact that I'm a sinner and I need you. It's your grace alone that saves me. And yes, I'm heading for judgment. Yes, God, you're holy and you're calling me to be holy. And the only way to do that is to receive your son. And so I've got to confess my guilt. I've got to confess my sin and receive him in my heart. I want to say today is the day for that. If you've never done that, today is the day. But it starts there. But not only confession towards yourself and coming. Do you know salvation? God works through our prayers for other people's salvation. Oh, sirrah, sirrah, what will be will be. No. Paul never saw it like that. I want to explain this because it's really, think of what Angelo just shared. He shared a testimony. What was his testimony? His mother was praying. That's why he's saved. He acknowledges. He knows how hard he was. He knows the hardness of his heart. He knows he was in sin. He knows all of these things. But he also knows his mom's prayer is what got him to a place where he confessed, where he came to the realization. And Paul sees it the same way, you know. Prayer is so important. Let me quickly find it. Paul's asking the church in Colossians 4:2, and he says, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant with thanksgiving. Again, thanksgiving in the same breath. I just gave a verse 2, but let me quickly read the rest of it. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I might make manifest as I ought to speak. You know what Paul's saying? If you read this scripture, do you see that Paul's not just putting it all on God? Just, you know, he's saying, he's recognizing God's got to work and I've got to work. Because here he says, pray for me. Okay? Pray for us. That God would open a door to us. Okay? It's not that God would just open it all, that he would open it to us. He's praying. He's saying, look, I know I've got an involvement in this. God's going to use me, but pray for me. Because God's working and I'm working. And I'm working with God. So it's not God, you do what you need to do. And if the door opens, I'll know it's you. No, that's not how he's saying. He's praying, pray that the door does open. Do you see, there's not a passive awaiting in this, in Paul's life. He's looking at this, and he says, pray that God will open a door to us for the word. And then he says, to speak, that I can speak the mysteries of Christ. So he's saying, look, not only can God open the door, but give me the ability to speak. Let me speak the gospel. He said, I might make it manifest as I ought to speak it. So he's saying, look, I don't even know how I'm going to do this, but pray to the Lord that he shows me. Sure, I'm just like, this is a church. This is why we're so dependent on the Lord. People aren't just going to get saved. People aren't just going to come flooding into the church. And I believe God works with us. I believe we work with him, actually. In fact, that's what Paul says, you know, that we are co-laborers. That word co-laborers is co-worker. I'm with them. I'm a fellow worker. And in fact, that word is, let me just quote read it, synergos, which means helper. I'm God's helper. Remember that scripture that God says, unless I build the house, you labor in vain. Who's doing the building? God. Who else is doing the building? You. We both. You laboring, but God's doing the building. You co-laboring with him. Sure. I'm hoping there's just something of a stirring of faith. That's what I'm really praying for this evening. It's not, I almost feel like there's a cloud sometimes over us. And we just like, you know, like God wants to awaken us. Look what I've got for you. Look what I want to call you to. There's a fight to fight. There's a race to run. There's a prayers that I've got for you to pray into situations. And why does God, think of it, why does God do this? Why doesn't he just do everything and we come to self? Let me explain this. The reason God does that is because he wants you involved in his plan. Okay? God has graced us with a gift of participation. And he wants, the reason he's graced you with the gift of participation, that you're involved in his plan, is because he wants you to share in the promise. You see, God's not just going to give you a promise, oh, well, you know, I promised it to Sean, but because I'm giving it to Sean, I'll give it to you. How many, I know parents that think like that. You know, like it's their kid's birthday. I don't know, maybe you parents that do that. But your one kid has his birthday and he has a present. You feel, oh, shame, my other kid. I know it's not his birthday, but because I'm giving this kid a birthday present, I'm going to give that one. And you know what that is? That's entitlement. God doesn't work through entitlements. He works through a promise that you're obedient in. And he graces you with, because you've done this, I'm going to reward you. God's a God of incentives. Not bribery, incentives. There's a difference. Incentives is, God, I want to come alongside you. I want to do the work that you've called me to do. And God says, great, I'm going to pay you for that. Even though actually I'm doing the work, I'm going to grace you in saying, okay, I'm going to include you, but I'm also going to reward you. And that's why I love 2 Peter 1:4. It says, he has given us his very great and precious promise, that through them you may participate in the divine nature. God saying, I want to include you in what I'm doing. I don't know about you, but I really know that to be included in this plan, you've been added to the plan of the Trinity, actually. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're all doing a work. And he said, you know what, Benny, I know you and yourself, you're not really much. You know, what are you going to add? I'm going to do something through you. So it's really not about you. It's what I'm going to do through you. I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can and can't do. And God says, you know what? It doesn't matter. It's about what I'm going to do through you. And so God says, come, be part of what I'm doing. And God is giving us precious promise through those rewards, through those things. 1 Corinthians 3:8, it says, each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. God is not an entitled God. He doesn't give one to because he gives to the other. He doesn't work like it. You're going to be given according to your own labor. But Benny, Jesus has done everything. Yes, he has. But he's saying, now I want you to activate what Christ has done on the cross for others. I want you to go and preach the gospel to others. I'm reminded of, it's a kind of like a sports team. Hey? I mean, how many of you like soccer or rugby? Anybody? What do you like, Henrik? All sports. But would you agree with me? I mean, it's one thing to be a spectator and watch your team win. Hey? It's lekker. But imagine if you're the player and your team wins. Imagine if you're not just standing at the grandstand saying, well done, oh, that's my team, that's great. But if you're the player and you win, doesn't it carry so much weight in the glory of that victory? It does. I mean, think of Ronaldo. He has a lot more glory in that victory than you do. Even if you're a spectator or one of these guys that cheer for them, you know. What's the team, the club? Al Nassr or something, I think. Yeah, Al Nassr, the Ronaldo's team. I mean, that guy, what does he do? So last year, 2024, 263 million. Would you agree with me? He's enjoying the victory a lot more than the spectators. I'm right, hey? I mean, for him, it's like, yes, with this comes rewards. For you, it's like, oh, my team won. You have to pay to go and watch. He gets paid to play. And nice amounts. But that's the difference. And I want to say to you, you might be here, and you might be here, and you participate, and you come to church, and you participate. But I want to say, God's not calling you just to fill the pews. He's calling you to be part of it. Because he wants you to share in the promise. But to share in the promise, you've got to be part of the plan of what he's doing. And he wants to activate his saints. He wants to activate us in power. Guys, I don't want to just come to church and that's all there is to it. I want to start moving towards, Sean shared it lovely last week when he said, you know, we come to Jesus and he makes this kind of U-turn. He says, okay, you've come to me, you received, now I'm sending you back. Why? Because I'm sending you into darkness. You now become the light. And what good is light if it's just, yeah, we're all lights? No, I'm sending you back into darkness that others can see your light, that the world can see who I am through you. And so he sends us back into the world, and that's part of our witness. And God wants to fulfill through us. He wants to fulfill things, but it's going to take prayer. It's going to pray interceding. It's going to take thanksgiving. It's going to take all these things for God to work in you, to be a witness that he's called us to be. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. That word great power is, let me try and pronounce it, as an energio, which is where you get the word energize. It's to energize. It empowers you. It's the one that activates you. And, you know, you can have everything. You can be a clever person. You can be a great teacher. You can do all of those things. It's kind of like being a Ferrari. You've got a nice engine. You've got a V8 or whatever, but you don't have the battery to start the car. That's what the scripture's saying. It's the Holy Spirit that energizes. He starts it. He gets it going. He makes it work. And so are you energized by the Holy Spirit? Are you praying in the Spirit? Is it something that's becoming natural to you? I want to say, I'm enjoying our prayer meeting times because it's like finding the Lord together. Like, we're hearing God. God, what are you doing? What do you want us to pray? How do you want us to pray? Because we don't know. We depend on the Lord for this. And I'm reminded, you know, we go back to the model church, Acts 2:42, that devoted themselves to prayer and to fasting. And but you know, before Acts 2:42, before the Holy Spirit came down on them when they were in the upper room, what were they doing before that? Before the power, when Jesus said, I'm going to send you, you're going to be clothed from on high, I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. What were they doing? Acts 1:14 tells us, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Do you want to come? Do you want us to be a church of great power? Do you want to see us as a church with that those were added to us daily, those being saved? Well, this is where we need to be, praying like they were. How do we expect to have the same results, but we're going to do something different? You know, they weren't waiting in the upper room watching Netflix and looking through their phones. And then, oh, yeah, he has the Holy Spirit. No, they were waiting. They were prayerfully anticipating. God, come. I want you to come. I want you to break through in my life. I want you to break through in others. I want to see you glorified. And, you know, and this is the thing. There's a mindset that needs to shift with us, church. As we call upon the Lord, as we ask of him, it's like God saying, I want you to change something. Let me quickly read Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. I'm not going to carry on too long. But I want you to see something here. Jesus saying here, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Does that sound like a reluctant God not wanting to answer a prayer? Does that sound like a God who's, you twist my arm. Okay, I'll do it. He's saying, ask. I'm actually anticipating. In fact, I want you to do that. That's part of what I've called you to is ask of me. Don't say, oh God, you have your way. You do what you want to do. He says, for everyone who asks, what? Receives. For him who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. But do you see that? There's a requirement. Do you see the requirement? Seeking, knocking, finding. He who seeks, he who knocks, he who asks. Then God opens. He lets us find. He lets us see. And so it is, the son asks for bread from any father among you. Will he give him a stone? Or if he asks of a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Now, God is not just saying, I'm not a reluctant God. He's saying, I am. I'll give you what you ask. But notice this. I always looked at that scripture, and all of a sudden, why does Jesus define what we ask to the Holy Spirit? I mean, he says, ask, it will be given. Seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. But then he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? Now, why did God all of a sudden, he's talking about bread, he's talking about eggs and fish, and now he's saying, asking, you know, those are specific things. Now God's kind of narrowing it all to one thing, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered that? I've looked at that scripture many times, kind of just how my brain ticks. And I look at it and I think, well, why? Why does God say, I'll give you the Holy Spirit? What happens if I'm wanting money? Or I'm needing breakthrough financially. We don't have food in the house. What good is the Holy Spirit to me then? I just need what I need. Huh? You ever think of that? He's our helper. This is what I'm coming to realize, and this is kind of a revelation to me too, is that even though we come, like even on our nights of prayer meeting, we come together, we meet in that little corner, and we're praying, I come with a certain expectation. I come with a certain view of what we should pray for. But God is beginning to define to me in those moments, in those times, through the Holy Spirit, what he actually wants us to pray into and how we must pray it. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who activates those things. And so when he says, look, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, he's saying, look, you don't even really know what to ask. That's the reality. But I'm going to give you my Spirit. I want to answer you. I want to actually do it, but I'm going to do it through my Holy Spirit. And he's going to even empower you how to pray, what to pray, and to see it in the Spirit. And that's how God works. He says, I'm not giving you, like it's like going to a bank and pushing the ATM and getting your money. I don't want to work like that. I'm giving you the bank. That's what God's saying. You'll need me to be what I need to be when you want me to be it. But you're going to ask in the Spirit. Don't ask in the flesh. And there is a difference, you know. I mean, James 4 talks about that, 4 verses 3. It says, you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it with your own pleasures. Okay, so we do understand that. There is that thing, but that's not asking in the Spirit, is it? And then Romans 8:26, it says this, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. The Spirit helps in our weakness, church. The Spirit helps in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And so God says, I want to give you my Spirit because you don't even know how to ask, what to ask. But you know what? I want you to ask anyway. And so as we come and we find the Lord together and we know what we've been called to, yes, we know there's a lost out there, but we don't know how to engage in that. We don't know how to speak into that. We don't know how God's going to bring life into that. And so there's a sense in which we're asking, we're seeking, we're looking, we're knocking, we're doing all of these things. And God's opening the door and he's helping us see and he's showing us things. Do you get how God's working? And I know in my heart, there's like a faith stirring me that we're going to see people come in. And it's not going to be because of persistent prayer. It's going to be through the Spirit guiding us and through a hunger within us that we want to see. There's an urgency to see people saved. It's not your own desires. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us. I want to read one more scripture, but I'm wanting us to process this. You know, Ezekiel kind of had the same mindset some of us might had or how I had. You know, God, your will be done. You do what you want to do. But I want you to see how God talks to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me, okay, and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were dry. You see, before we carry on, so God says to Ezekiel, look, I want you to go in the valley, and in this valley there's dry bones. It's not just bones, it's dry. And he forces Ezekiel to actually walk among them, to actually see the circumstances. And so he walks and he sees this valley of dry bones. Now, it says he could see those bones must have been dead for a long time because they were dry and they were cracked. He could see. Okay, you can go into the next one. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And what was Ezekiel's answer? Typical Calvinist. So I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. God, you know. You got it. How many of us respond like that? Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. You see what he's saying? Look, Ezekiel, you're not going to get off this hook so easy. I'm including you in what I'm doing. You're not going to climb off and just, oh, God, you have your will. Do what you want to do. How many of us pray like that? And he's saying, look, God, you do it. And he says, you, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. Prophecy is a type of prayer. We can prophetically pray into things. And he says, prophecy to see the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Now, who was Ezekiel talking to? There wasn't ears on those bones. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of like, what are you talking to? Well, I'm talking in faith. I'm talking to the bones, but at the same time, I'm talking to the Lord. It's like, God, I know what you're telling me to do this, and I'm responding to you. And because you're the one who calls those things that are not as though they were, I'm actually talking to you because they don't have ears. Those bones are going to come to life because, God, you're the one who brings life. Okay, you can go on to the next. And I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put your breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You see the purpose behind it. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling of the bones came together, bone to bone. Did I share the rest? Up to 10. No. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skins covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, you see, God says again, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Yeah, that's amazing. Hey, God raised an army through Ezekiel's prophecy. And God, that army was actually Ezekiel, was Israel. That God was saying, Israel, I want to bring Israel to life. But Ezekiel, I'm going to use you. Isn't that amazing? What a prophecy, what a prayer. But I want to say, God gives us an illustration of Ezekiel. And as we read it, it was the Spirit that did the work. But at the same time, I want to say to us, every single one of us are in different places. Every single one of us are walking in a valley where there's dry bones. There's people that need salvation. There's circumstances. You might even be in a difficult circumstance. Maybe it's financially. Maybe you're having marriage issues. Maybe your kids are a mess. Maybe just in your workplace, there's death. There's things that you just know it's been like this for many years. It's dry. I can see it. It's not just bones. It's not just dead, but it's been dead for a long time. Hi, God, how are you going to restore my marriage? It's a mess. There's just no way. It's been like this for years and years. I want to say you need to find faith in the Lord wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever circumstances you are in. And you might look at, and God's going to make you pass. Every single one of us are passing through a valley. There's certain things around us that God's making you. Your road is different to my road. Your valleys are different to my valleys. But God will make you pass through those things because he's wanting you to see the dry bones. But at the same time, he's not keeping you there. And so I want to ask even now, as maybe as I'm sharing this circumstances that you're in, and I want to say, I want you to prophesy into that. I want you to speak into that. And this is not a name it and claim it thing, because at the same time, I'm hearing, you know, to prophesy something isn't, oh God, I'm in a financial mess, I prophesy money into my life. That's not what I'm saying. It's you prophesying, it says the Spirit. It was the Spirit that brought the winds. The solution to someone battling with finances sometimes isn't money. It's to know how to steward the money he's got. Sometimes God needs to do something in your heart. And that's what the Spirit does. But for you to prophesy into your marriage or prophesy, those are things God's got to work in you and say, okay, I want you to understand this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. And so as you speak it in the Spirit, as you speak it in faith, God begins to activate. He starts to bring life. And so it starts somewhere. It starts by, it says that the bones first came together, then the sinew, then the flesh, then the breath. You might just see a little glimpse of, well, can it really still happen? Yes. But even in the small things, let the Lord begin to do the work. But start to prophesy that. Start to speak that into being in the Lord and in the Spirit. It has to be the Spirit that does it. But it's your participation in the Spirit for that. So I want to pray. How do you guys feel just in that? Should I get everybody to stand? Is that better? But as we do that, as we stand, I want you to think about the dry bones that you're in, the places that you're in. I don't know where every person's at. Maybe your family's in a mess. Maybe there's situations. Maybe there's anger issues. Maybe there's pride. I don't know. But every single one of you have dry bones in your life. God has caused those things to be there with you, but he's calling you out of it too. He's allowed you to see the dry bones. He's allowed you to walk through them, but that's not where God wants to leave you. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring healing. But we need to ask of him. And so I don't know where you are. I want you to take that thing and bring it to the Lord now. And so, Lord, I want to pray for your church as we come before you, Lord Jesus. We recognize that we do walk among valleys. We do recognize that the wages of sin is death. And there is death around us, Lord. There is death in circumstances. There is death around us because that is the consequence of sin. But Lord, we also know that you're the God of life. You're the one who heals. You're the one who sets us free. You're the one who's ultimately salvation. And as we call upon your name, Jesus, Lord, we want to see your life flowing into those circumstances, into people, into lives. But Lord, I want to pray that as we call forth your wind, your Spirit to move, Jesus, that we are so dependent on you. But Lord, we want to begin to speak those things because you've asked us to. You've asked us to pray into situations, Lord, and to pray without ceasing, as we've heard scripture, and to pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. And Lord, I pray that you begin to highlight things, you begin to enlighten us in the circumstances, that as we pray, that so our faith is stirred, that you're a God that does miracles today. And we want to stand in faith knowing that, Lord Jesus. And we want to prophesy to those dry bones. We want to prophesy life into those circumstances. Lord, whether it be at the workplace and those around us are people that are totally in sin, Lord, we prophesy into that. Whether it's our boss or just our co-workers, we prophesy into that. Lord, we don't want to just be a people that, oh, Lord, make my circumstances nice. Lord, there's a bigger picture in this. You want to see people healed. You want to see people coming to salvation. Lord, I want to prophesy that. Lord, I want to pray even as we prophesy, we would prophesy the gospel of Jesus. Even as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, we want to speak that into being in Jesus' name. So Lord, won't you come, Jesus, and stir. Won't you come and bring the Spirit and begin to breathe life into those things. Oh Lord, we call upon your name. I want to pray as a church that we'd be a praying church, that we'd be a church that is so dependent on you, Lord, that you'd shift our mindsets from if it be your will to, Lord, what is your will? I want to speak it. I want to act upon it. I want to prophesy into that word. I want to see it coming to fruition because I know you've placed this in my heart to see it come to life. And so, Lord, we ask for forgiveness just where we've been passive, where we've held back. Even as that word came today through, Lord, of just that holding on. The word of just holding on through faith, Jesus, of the very call and the purposes that we have in you, Jesus, that we'd guard it with our life, that we'd guard the faith with our life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.